Our reading this morning follows the story of Mary Magdalene, who saw the resurrected Christ. But not only Mary Magdalene, but also two of the disciples. John is telling us that the circle of disciples were mourning the death of Jesus, like all Jews did, in a closed house. But in this case, they were locked in. The doors were locked because of fear for the Jewish authorities. The disciples were still in Jerusalem because the feast of the unleavened bread was not over, so they didn't depart to Galilee yet. John is telling us between the lines, and he's setting a scene that we can just imagine for ourselves. The disciples were in fear. They felt anxious. They were waiting for the next knock on the door, and that would be, or could be, the Jewish authorities who wanted to captivate them as well. I can just imagine how they wondered of all the things that has happened and talked about all these events and how awful it was to see Jesus on the cross. They did not have peace at all. When Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, stood among them and offered them peace. It's funny that although Jesus greeted them with the usual traditional form of greeting, peace be with you, this gets another meaning, a much deeper meaning, as if Jesus knew their anxiousness inside themselves. And he's offering them a peace that surpasses all human understanding. In those days, proper residences were equipped with bolts and locks. So when John says they were behind closed doors or locked doors, he means it. He means that no one could get into that room. But Jesus did. Jesus came through the walls, through the doors, and he stood among them, and he offered them this peace. And then Jesus showed them his wounds. Wounds were sometimes used as evidence in the courts. And here, Jesus shows them that it's him. Because according to the Jewish tradition, the dead would be resurrected the same way in which they have died before God has healed them. So according to the Jewish tradition, Jesus was the resurrected Jesus was the man with the wounds. And he showed them his hands. But we know it couldn't have been his hands. The nails went through his wrists. Because if it was his hands, he would fall from the cross. It would rip his hands apart. And then when they saw and really come to terms that this is the resurrected Jesus, they were all delighted with joy, but we also know with this peace. Their grief was overshadowed by this joy, their anxiety and fears by his peace. And then Jesus gave them the authority to be witnesses of his resurrected body. He's sending them out like God the Father sent him to this world. He offers them peace, but not only peace, but also his Holy Spirit, which he blew upon them. He gave them the authority to offer other people God's peace, his presence, his forgiveness, but also his hope. And Jewish tradition, prophets often appointed their successors. And in this case, this is exactly what Jesus does. We also know that they spoke of them as their agents. So Jesus is making the disciples his agents on this earth. But it seems very funny that Thomas wasn't among this group of disciples. Thomas, also called the twin, or more accurately according to the Greek text, the double, was not with them. And then he becomes the first opportunity to be a witness to the resurrection of Jesus. So when the disciples came to him and spoke about this, he doubted. He said he can't believe that unless he sees the wounds for himself. And then, what happened? A whole week passes. Nothing happens. Can you imagine the disciples? Can you imagine how anxious they became? Because they just said to this man, their own, one of their inner circle, Thomas, that Jesus is risen, and he didn't believe them. And now a week has passed, and they can't prove anything else. And then, Jesus do appear. And it seems that Thomas was quite in shock and awe, because Jesus did not only go through the bolted doors, but Jesus addresses Thomas individually and personally. It is as if Jesus knew what Thomas said previously. He said to Thomas, "Look at me. See, I'm the living proof." And then he confessed, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus said, "It will be better if people believe despite or looking to see signs." Verse 31 is a summary of everything that happened the way it did. It happened so that everyone can have faith in Jesus Christ's resurrection. John is telling us, nothing can separate us, the believer, from God. Not a bolted door or even death. Amen. The text verse for the sermon is verse 31. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." Our reading this morning is an incredible story. It marks an incredible scene. Jesus appears to his disciples and giving them the authority by blowing his Holy Spirit on them to be witnesses of his resurrection. And then the first one they witness to, one of them does not believe one word of their testimony that Jesus is risen from the tomb. It was Thomas who said, "He will only believe unless he sees for himself the marks of the crucifixion on Jesus." But in the end, he became a witness too, after he saw the wounds of Jesus. Jesus blew his Spirit on them, gave them authority to convey his message of his resurrection to all people. And he expects you and me to do exactly the same. And just like Thomas, we have no excuse. Because he said, everyone will be blessed when they believe without seeing the marks of his resurrected body. But we are all different. And all our witnesses will be different as long as we confess the same truth that Jesus is alive and He is our only living hope. It does not matter who we are, if we are doubtful like Thomas or not, as long as we are witnesses in truth about our faith and hope in the everlasting life, because Jesus came out of the tomb. In the end, we all received the same message from the 10 disciples and the doubtful Thomas. And still today, from many pulpits, the same message is proclaimed, although all the voices vary and all the ministers vary, the message stay the same. And I guess we can compare it to the different interpretations from the commentators through the different pictures of the recent royal wedding. Although all the stories were different, they all told the same story. The story of a commoner who married a prince. They all conveyed hope or a sense of hope despite all the doom and gloom. The resurrection of Jesus does not have to be told only by ministers or elders. Each and everyone needs to be witnesses of the hope that we receive through the resurrection of Jesus. And we are not alone. Jesus offered us all peace with God. He gave us all His Holy Spirit to help us to be truthful witnesses of His resurrected presence. And even when we do feel anxious and full of doubt, we have the insurance. Jesus will come to us too, wherever we are. He will even come to us in the most unusual places. He will come to us when we try to hide from others in dark and closed rooms, when we are scared and anxious, when we are feeling depressed, hopeless and tired, when we are ill and suffering, when we worry about tomorrow, when we lie in our beds night after night, feeling desperate and cold. Jesus will come to us when other people hurt us with their gossip and insensitivity, when our loved ones die and we stand beside open graves or sit in the crematorium. We are not alone. When we cry and we cannot stop crying, Jesus will be there. When we struggle to overcome alcohol or drug abuse, when we divorce, or other people divorce us and leave us alone, Jesus will be there. Jesus will be there all the times we struggle to pray, when we struggle to praise God. Jesus will be there. He will go through the locked door. He will not leave us alone. So you and I can have peace, peace and surety this morning. We can go out of this church and rejoice and say, nothing can keep us away from the triune God, the Father, the Son, and His Holy Spirit. And I want to conclude this morning in the words of Paul. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.